Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Greetings. It's Thursday. We're in December. We're headed towards the holiday season in full force. And I bit my tongue. You know that phrase, go bite your tongue. It's like I was eating and I bit the side. And so if I sound a little funny, if I'm pulling my pronunciation a little bit, then that's why. That's why. And it's painful. It's painful to speak. I will admit that. But I'll live. I shall live. And I hope you're not disappointed. And I say that, why? Because the theme of the show today is disappointment. And I did pull a card to inform that theme. And so we'll talk about it in a sec. But before we get to that, it's my website, jasondmckean.com. So jasondmckean.com. And that has my tarot reading schedule in Los Angeles, and it has my Om chant CDs that are available at iTunes and Amazon. And you know, that's for you hipsters there that know how to work the internet. If you just want to get CDs or something like that, then you can get CDs at my site as well. But who gets CDs these days? Yeah, a few people. A few people over 50. Anyone else? No, they don't get CDs. Where am I going to be? Well, let's start with local. In 2 days, Saturday, I'll be at Kathmandu Boutique. They're having a December holiday party, and I'm going to read all day, so it'll be from like 2 to about midnight that I'll be reading. And that'll be fun. I really look forward to that day. It's always fun at Kathmandu, but seeing old friends and meeting new people, that's what it's all about. You know, just being in that energy of celebration, especially this time of year. And so that's in Santa Monica. That is local. And then getting through the holidays, that's the main objective for all of us. And then in January, it's when things really pick up for me. There will be a psychic fair at the Green Man in NoHo, and that's January 5th. That's a Saturday. And then I'm going to be traveling to the North Country, to Seattle and Portland. I'm going to do workshops. I'm going to be doing Cultivating the Unknown workshops. And those are pretty fun workshops. They're ones that I have done before in other areas that are not Portland and Seattle. But I'm going to do Seattle. We're going to do that on January 19th. That's a Saturday, and that'll be from 10 a.m. to noon. And then I'm going to go down to Portland, and then on Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m., so 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'll do the Cultivating the Unknown with the Tarot workshop as well. And that'll be at New Renaissance Bookstore. The one in Seattle will be at East West Bookshop. and the one in Portland will be a New Renaissance, and that's on my website, jasondmckean.com, under Tarot Workshops. Weird, right? It'd be under Tarot Workshops, but it is. It's under Tarot Workshops, and then the following weekend I'll be in Bakersfield at Enchanted Cottage, and we're going to do a 2-hour workshop there as well. Tarot base. I think it's going to be. I'm a little bit torn. I may ask around. I'm thinking of doing one for either abundance or protection. Utilizing the tarot, and they're both very different, but they're both very needed. I think that at that time of year, you know, around January, people are wanting to, make these this switch, you know, so that they're at their peak and they're like, you know, tapping into abundance, they're tapping into transforming themselves to be their best. You know, that's when we all say, oh, yeah, I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to lose 50 pounds, or, you know, stuff that isn't impossible, but it's our best self speaking, and then, you know, we go through it and see how we do. Not all of our goals are easy goals, and so sometimes we need a boost, and I think that maybe that's when one can come in late January and crack the whip, because I'm good at that, cracking the whip. So January is going to be busy, and I hope I get to see each and every one of you, you know, depending on where you're from. But again, if you're in Seattle or Portland, you know, I would love to meet you. So let's begin with the topic while I still have a mouth that operates. Because it is painful. I am in pain here. I'm not screaming. I'm not crying. But I could be whimpering later. disappointment. Disappointment. Why that topic? That cheerful, cheer me up kind of topic right before Christmas. I feel that you know, disappointment comes up a lot, you know, especially with readings where people are, you know, looking to find out about themselves. Hang on, I was just taking a quick swig there of liquid, and. And I pulled the Five of Cups. And the Five of Cups, you know, it's just this card where this person is like surrounded by five cups, and about three of them are knocked over, and the contents are spilling out. And then two are upright. And sometimes our attention goes to that which is not working for us. You know, the connections that we thought were going to be there that didn't appear, the people that we thought we could count on not showing up, and so it, you know, it's a very real card, you know, in the sense that everyone gets disappointed. Everyone is feeling that they're you know, not able to connect fully or have things go their way. And you know, there's something about having expectations too that are not met. And you know, with new ventures that we think up and we get excited about, and then we move towards it, and then you know, all of the pieces don't come into place. You know, there's always an opportunity to get upset, to have that feeling of, oh man, it's not working. And with that card, it's kind of that half glass, half full, half empty. So the glass half full, half empty syndrome, because not everything is tipping over. Not everything is going awry. But it's that something about our nature as humans and all to fixate on that which is not working, and feeling down about it, rather than looking at the things that are working and going, oh yeah, okay, now I've got this. This is good. Let's keep going in this area. And when that card arises, I feel it's a card that allows for an opportunity of us to let go of the disappointment of for us to let go of those things that are not working for us, and to go for the things that are working. It's like a few years ago, I remember this card coming up in a reading, and it was I was auditioning for a part in a production, and this card came up, and it was like, oh man, I'm not gonna get the part. I'm not going to be able to, get the play. And so, I felt that it was like it was telling me, it's like, oh, disappointment. Okay, you're going to be disappointed. And yet, as the production, as it progressed, it's like I did get to play. I was called back. I was involved. Just not in the way that I thought I was going to be involved. It changed. And what it taught me was that this card has so many deeper levels to it that it isn't just taking on that mantle of disappointment, but it's allowing for, again, the things that you thought were going to happen. Your expectations that sure, something may not come of it immediately, just like you thought it was going to be, but it's an opportunity to not, have the full-on expectations of how something's going to be, and then and have those thrown to the rocks there to get them dashed. It's about how instead of something necessarily happening in a straight line, it can have its twists and turns, and maybe you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then you can get to a place of where your expectations were met. And so it's very, very key in just understanding how when we expect things to happen a certain way, and then they don't, it's like, do we lose all hope, right? Or do we just sit back and take it as an opportunity of how things can progress in another way that you thought you didn't think was possible, or you just hadn't thought of it. As progressing a certain way. It's like if you are looking for a job, and your heart is set on a certain position, and that position is not exactly open, it's like you might take another position there at that place, so that when it does become open, you can move into it. And that's exactly what happened for me. When I was, getting ready for that production, and it turned out wonderful. I mean, it was like a really incredible experience. So, so if I had just like taken that surface level of disappointment and wanted to just kind of feel sorry for myself and, you know, kind of kick the floor there with my foot, my toe, and just like, you know, life sucks. Certainly we can do that, right? And we can also, you know, just temper our own feelings so that we can be open for what the opportunity really means and what it is, you know, once we move towards something, you know, if there is a possibility of down the road where something opens up, you know, it's like allowing for time to have its say, allowing for a deeper sense of trust to have its say. You know, so anyway, I pulled the Five of Cups with that, but I wanted to see if there were any other cards that had anything to say about disappointment. So I'm going to just set the Five aside here. I'm not going to put it back in the deck and try to bring it back up. That's interesting. The Emperor shows up. And the Emperor is it's a builder card. You know, it's the dominant male energy card. But it's about how one produces a structure, a framework, and you know, creates it as solid as possible so that one can operate from that framework, from that structure. You know, start to inhabit it in a way that allows for sustainability, that allows for one to be able to manifest their dreams. But having those dreams built on a solid foundation in the real world. So it's like, you know, solid application. You know, what does it have to say about disappointment? I think exactly that. You know, one can operate more soundly, I guess, if they have a solid structure or solid framework underneath them, rather than just feeling like they're putting themselves out on a limb all the time. You know, like it's make it or break it time. You know, where it's like you know, one can you know, well, I mean, you know, looking at an occupation or a you know, wanting to you know, have a dream, let's say. Well, let's take it to Tarot, right? It's like having a foundation of knowledge about the cards before one starts to read Tarot for others. And it doesn't mean that you have to know every level, but you know, where one is starting to understand what the cards mean, it can be on the surface, you know, like you can take like the Three of Swords, which is the heart with the three swords in it, and you know that it's a card of frustration. You know, it's a card of you know, just by looking at it has a visceral look to it. I mean, three swords and a heart is not a pleasant thing to look at. You know, the Ten of Swords, ten swords in one's back. It's not a pleasant thing. You know, so it's important to know why, you know, there's ten swords in there. It's important to know why it's a card that indicates you know, problem areas or potential problem areas. And so once you have that knowledge, that foundational knowledge, then one can be more confident in how they read for themselves or for someone else. You know, I mean, it's like the more you do, the more you read, the deeper you go, and you'll find variations, you know, on that meaning. It may still have the core to it, but there's ways of working out, you know, the energy of it so that one is not stuck in that place. You know, because like the Three of Swords is, for me, it's a card of alignment, where head and heart, when they are aligned, then you're no longer in that frustrating place. The Ten of Swords, when you're flexible in your thoughts, and you're able to not get stuck, then that is a solution to, you know, that card. You know, so there are ways of, you know, going to deeper levels, but again, you know, just looking at disappointment and you know, having a foundation so that you're not always out on a limb. It's interesting, the card of give and take comes up, the Six of Pentacles, and you know, I see that card as you know, sometimes it's you win some, you lose some, and that's a healthy attitude to look at when you're pursuing your goals. You know, when you work with other people, it's like, you know, you can be responsible for your actions, what it is that you do. You're not responsible for someone else. And you know, it's like when you're going after something, if you don't win, if you don't get everything that you want, right, it's like, you know, you can try again and you know, move towards those things that you want, without like being a poor sport about it, you know, and just recognizing, okay, you know, it's like I'll try again and you know, to get it. You know, we all know people who are poor sports, and it's just like, it's pretty awful. And then lastly, the Six of Pentacles shows up, which is the Knight of Pentacles. I was looking at the Six, the Knight of Pentacles. What's interesting about all of these cards, the Emperor, the Six of Pentacles, the Knight of Pentacles, they're all cards that have to do with manifestation, with bringing your inner self out into the world and activating that. And the Knight of Pentacles, is they're being known as like a slowpoke, you know, where or you know, like the turtle in that story about the rabbit and the turtle. The turtle and the hare, where the turtle takes his time and is can be slow, but doesn't want to make a misstep. And you know, one can certainly you know, do that to make sure that they're in areas where they're having to make sure that they're not, you know, getting too far ahead of themselves. It's about, you know, going at the right pace for what the environment calls for. You know, in the Wizard's Tarot, the Knight of Pentacles is hiking up an icy, snowy mountain. And, you know, one doesn't want to make a misstep when they're climbing a mountain that's ice and snow. I've done it. Not, you know, the full, you know, ice shoes and ropes and all that, but you know, when I lived in Alaska as a teenager, it's like I had my share of climbing hills and stuff, and it's like you can't, there's not a lot of room to make a mistake, so you have to be pretty slow and cautious and just be sure-footed. So it's really interesting that you know, those cards come up, you know, with disappointment, because they're again kind of about the outward manifestation of our inner self. If our inner self, reflects that disappointment, then, the Five of Cups is that perfect card that shows our inner self. But this is about not wanting to, make those mistakes, so much as we're moving through them, balancing them out and again kind of taking our time so that we can lessen the disappointments or make them fewer. I wanted to ask too about expectations, what does the Tarot have to say about expectations? Because it seems to go hand in hand with disappointment. I'm curious. I threw all the cards back there into the deck to see, what it has to say about expectations. Because that's where we start to invest our hopes and dreams and all into, what it is that we want. So I've picked two so far. Okay. The Two of Pentacles. Asking about expectations. And, the two is the juggler. The one who has the two pentacles and they're juggling them in this infinite figure eight. And it's like I often see it's not just the Wizard's Tarot, it's actually a few other decks I've seen it portrayed as this, where the person juggling there has two discs. One is closer in hand, and the other's more up in the air. It's a little bit further away, but their eyes are on the one that's further away. And sometimes it has to do with the long term and the short term, being able to balance what it is that's possible right now with that which is a little further off. It could be 5 years down the road. It could be, just where our biggest hopes lie, right? As far as like the big breakthrough. Like if we're doing the stuff around us to just satisfy our own stability and to build up towards something bigger. It's that something that's bigger there that's off in the distance. And sometimes we do focus on that as a means of getting us through our daily struggle. It's like it's hope, right? It's like the hope towards that thing that's distant, but it's something that we move towards, and it can break up the monotony if we're if we feel like we're in a rut, or if we just feel like we're in a place of sacrifice. Pretty interesting that card comes up. And again, I think, expectations, it's that thing that we're moving towards that's down the road a bit, but we've got our eye on it. And it does inform our decisions. Informs our daily decisions. It's like we might not go a certain way that might bolster up the present, because it's like, no, I want to make sure that the road is clear for, down the road. The second card I pulled two cards so far. is the Three of Pentacles. So the Two of Pentacles, the Three of Pentacles. And in the Three of Pentacles, it's a card of support. A card of support from the universe when we are in a place of joy and we're willing to take risks for what it is that we want, or for being who we need to be in the world. And again, the pentacles are really showing themselves in this realm of like expectations and disappointment, like it has to manifest itself out in the world there to have like a weight behind it, or to make it it's like the I guess giving it its gravity, its gravitas there. All right, now this is weird. I just pulled a third card, and it's the Queen of Pentacles. All right, is it weird? No. Yes, it is. I mean, out of 78 cards, it's like, come on. You know, what is it about the manifestation of it that is like the highest form, or, you know, I mean, as far as like, you know, what it wants to tell me. You know, so it's like expectations. The Queen of Pentacles. The Queen is where one is able to create comfort for themselves, but there's enjoyment of the senses. I mean, there is a fulfillment aspect to that, but one that shows itself in the world. So it's not just about like an inner goal, or you know, just something within oneself. It's almost, and it's not that one has to necessarily like show it to others. I think if the King of Pentacles came up, I think it'd be like a thing of flaunting one's success. Flaunting. It's just, yeah. Sure. Whereas it just feels like it needs to happen, you know, in order for it to satisfy us. Thinking of an example. Well, you know, it's like, again, in this work of the Tarot, it's like when one feels that a certain card would really be nice to show up in a reading, as far as like it's like a card that makes sense, or it's like, oh my God, you know, this feels like it's talking about this, you know, this person's question that they just asked, you know, it seems like this card would really like bring it home, and then it shows up in the reading, right? And it's like that type of manifestation is something that has met one's expectations in a high manner. And it's like, ah, yes, of course, okay. And there's a deep satisfaction. You know, again, which the Queen of Pentacles, you know, represents that inner self that's satisfied, comfortable, and doesn't necessarily have to show it so much to the outside world, to others, but needs to know it for themselves, so that they know that they're connected. Sometimes a signpost for someone who is spiritual, who has a set either number system or words, you know, it's like a popular one is the 1111. It's like the other day I was out shopping and had a bunch of random stuff, and the total, you know, the small stuff, came out to $11.11. It's like, aha, but of course, you know, it just happened. That I wasn't expecting, but when one's signposts show up, I do expect them to show up. I just don't like, everything has to, if you go pump gas and, it comes to 11:11. I don't know what gas station that would be because it's mostly a lot more than that. But maybe you're just topping off your tank and comes up to 11:11, and click stops, and it's just like it's not 11:12, it's not 11:10 or 11:09, it's 11:11, and it's like you're excited, right? You just happen to look at the clock. It's 11:11, and it's just like it just gives you a little bit of a thrill. It's like your expectations, one of your signposts being met. So those are really interesting cards. Again, the Pentacles. I'm gonna have to think about that, See what that's about. I had another question, and how easy? Okay. So how easy is it to let go of disappointment? Right? It's like when you are expecting something, when you're again putting it in the context of the tarot, like. You're asking a question, or there's a reading that you're doing for someone else, and it's like you totally expect a card to show up, and it's like, oh yeah, I feel that this one is the one, and you do it, and it's like, no, it's something else, and it's just like, I'm not sure how that relates. Yeah, that happens. Can happen. Not a lot to me, of course. No, it does happen. Sometimes it's totally, it's like a new lesson to like learn a new level, or just find out, oh, why did that card come up? It's what didn't I know about that card? I've been studying the Hebrew levels on a lot of the major arcana, and some are just I have like just so well in my lexicon, and I know just exactly how they apply and all. And then there are others that are trickier. And not that everything has to, you have to bring out all of your tools in your toolbox for every reading, but it's really nice to know though, and especially because one does get a lot of different types of questions, and I challenge myself, with different types of questions. Like, why did that come up? It's like, what are all the layers, the astrological layers, the Hebrew, or so it's been doing that. But we're looking at to see, about the aspect of letting go. Is it easy? Is it difficult? What can make it less difficult? Oh man, I can tell my mouth is like hurting certain words. All right, I pulled three. And the first card, flipped it over, it's the Nine of Wands. The card of being tenacious. Of being a bulldog, not letting go. That's a really interesting card to come up, because it's one that has to do with having resolve to stick things out. I might add that one doesn't want to go backwards in life. One doesn't give up so that they can start anew. It's like a lot of people, and I don't blame anyone, for not wanting to have to start from square one. It's an interesting card where one is allowing for their own tenacity, their own connection to spirit to keep them moving forward, and like things will take them to the next level if they don't give up. I'm just wondering if that's something, because we're asking about how easy it is to let go, and sometimes, you know, we're convinced that if we were to let go, then all would be lost. You know, that would be like going back to square one. You know, with people, relationships. You know, it's like if you know, one is experiencing that overturned cup, it's like you know, one is sticking with it. They're like still attaching themselves, I guess, to maybe a person who isn't invested in them as much as they're invested in that person. So it can be. I'm seeing now that it's pretty tricky, you know, as far as like the energy towards it. Let's see what. This is not going to let me off the hook. I love it. The Eight of Swords comes up. Again, we're asking about, you know, how easy it is to let go of disappointment, you know, of someone who we're invested in. I'm seeing already, you know, that with the two individuals there, that it's like there's one person in each card, and one is in the Eight of Swords. She's surrounded by the swords. It's kind of like a self-imposed jail or prison, and it's like one of one's own making at that point. You know, it's a card of limitations, of holding ourselves back willingly. And in the Nine, you know, it's like she's standing there with all the wands, and you know, that person is willingly, you know, choosing to not let go, to be tenacious, to hold on. And I think the Eight of Swords is pretty telling sometimes. It's like, again, kind of in the area of relationships, and it's like, you know, we get comfortable with someone. Let's say they're not reciprocating our affection or attention. It's like, you know, we can still get just comfortable in our own head with that person, and so changing things up, it just seems like it's like a lot of work to have to do that. So what I'm seeing is that, you know, it's like you know, people are stubborn, you know, to just easily let go of things once they've initiated them, once they've got it cooking in their head. You know, getting switching gears is not easy. The third card that I pulled, the Hierophant, and that is a card of connection. Like I was just talking about the Hebrew aspects, the Hebrew alphabet, and Vow is the nail, and the nail is that thing that connects and kind of, you know, locks us in place. If you think of two pieces of wood, right, with a nail in it, it's like it's a pretty good bond. You have those two separate people, those two individual pieces, but because they're nailed together, it's like they're that's keeping them together. So it's about that connection, those things that connect us. You know, sometimes the ties that connect people. We'll just stick with like relationships, right? Because that's an applicable metaphor. It's like the things that keep us together can be, you know, incredibly strong. Those ties. And you know, sometimes the ties themselves have a life. And it doesn't depend on just the you know, what the individuals want at that point. It's like, you know, sometimes that tie, that bond, can be kind of stronger, and so it's like kind of wrestling with that. And you know, I look at the other aspects of the Hierophant, you know, for clarification, for deeper meaning. And you know, it's like the Hierophant in the Wizard's Tarot is symbolized or represented by Chiron, the wounded healer. Chiron was an immortal, a centaur, and wounded by a poisoned arrow by Heracles. And he couldn't die, but he was in a lot of pain. And he scoured the earth looking for remedies to ease his suffering, and along the way shared those remedies, became a teacher, became a healer, you know, but it was because of his own suffering that informed kind of the whys, you know, of why did he become a healer. You know, it's because he was in pain himself. And you know, we do know people that are in pain and they choose not to be healers, right? But Chiron did, chose to share and to use his own experiences. You know, I see that as a card of being able to know when we're in a place of suffering, and kind of convert that energy so that, you know, we're not compounding the problem. It's, you know, by being with others, by sharing, one can open up new avenues of healing oneself, and for allowing a deeper healing to take place. And so these cards of, you know, these first two with the Nine of Wands and the Eight of Swords, you know, showing, you know, is it easy? It's like, no, it's not easy. It's not easy to let go of disappointment, of being able to be in that place of where you're, you know, being seen as like in a positive light, or where you're become a positive force again. You're not just like feeling bad for yourself, but again, it's like Chiron. You know, he could have just like felt bad for himself, but his way of learning to work through and let go was to share. It like became part of his being. You know, was and open himself up to, you know, becoming a healer, because he'd gone through you know, certain pain. You know, it's like it's a way of converting energy and you know, converting a mindset, converting your suffering into a sharing that allows others to alleviate their own suffering. You know, so good on him. That's a pretty interesting like three-way, look at the cards. And I with all the people that I see too, I do see where, when someone's in pain, and they can be because of their they've just lost someone, or it's a perceived losing of someone. There is a period of time where one feels like they're trapped. It's like they're a victim to that mindset, or that place where they're in suffering. But how one chooses to move through that, and become more of a source for others to be alleviated. Sometimes it's through, again, because our own experience, it tells us, it informs us that it's like when we validate ourselves, when we validate our own experience, then that it gives a power to it. And not unlike what I think we were just seeing with the expectations question from earlier, where it's all the pentacles showing up, the manifestation. When one just wants something within, when they see something within, it's like, yeah, it's like, you're it's like a beginning of something. But when it actually starts to appear out in the world, starts to manifest in the physical, then it starts to take form. Has weight to it, has gravity to it, and it becomes, more of a thing. They say that talk is cheap. It's like live in Los Angeles for a while, right? And it's like the amount of people who are doing stuff, who are like talking about doing stuff, as opposed to the people who are actually doing stuff. And when one puts the actions, or their inner world, when they put that into action, then that's what starts to give it a whole new life, and it starts to make it a force to be reckoned with. All right, I hope this is all helpful. I'm inclined to pick one more card, and I just want to see what it has to say about all of this. Interestingly enough, it's the High Priestess, and it's like the High Priestess is the one who, within the Tarot and other psychic sciences, she goes deep into her own subconscious, her own process, into other people's energy, into the energy of the ethers, what's just kind of out there, and is able to pull, be aware of things, and pull things back, and start to talk about them, and to give life to the impressions that they're receiving. And in this realm of disappointment, expectations, I think in this realm of the Tarot, and in any of the other psychic sciences, it's like we start to do this work in a way of having high expectations of our own psychic abilities, of what's expected of us as readers, as channelers, mediums, you know, I know that for myself, I'm disappointed in myself because I can't like look at the back of a card and then just say, I'm now going to pull the five of pentacles and, you know, voila. See, I'll do that. Okay, this is the five of pentacles. No, see, it's the world. I can't look at the back of a card and just like, you know, pull it. And for me, it's disappointing, right? It's like, I should be able to do that. I'm psychic, right? If you're psychic, you're able to do that. If, you know, you can just meet anybody and just start, you know, saying, oh, you know what? You know, when you were five, you broke your leg. You fell off a little hill and, you know, and then you cracked your tooth on your tricycle. And, you know, it's like, I'm disappointed that those aren't my gifts. And I think that, you know, I would be cheating myself if I sat in that disappointment and allowed for it to control me. You know, if I allowed for it to say, okay, well, you know, this is why I don't do that kind of work, because I can't do this. And it robs you, it would rob me of finding out what it is that I can do. And, you know, I've been thinking lately a lot about the idea of control, you know, because that's, that gets into like realms of kind of magic tricks and stuff like that, where the magician is controlling everything, and you know, for a certain effect of like, oh wow, that's amazing. And you know what I do have, what I do bring to readings and all is being able to create space where someone can explore in an open way and not have any judgments about them. And, you know, do I always like guess right about, you know, where someone is, you know, where they've been or what's presently going on? No, no. But it's again, like opening up that exploratory space where, you know, the cards that do come up are incredible. They're, you know, it's like the less control that I impose upon it, it's like the more incredible, like the readings come up, and that's, you know, it's almost like a ironic, you know, it's like it shouldn't work that way, but it can work that way. And so, you know, it's like the less that you try to, you know, have your mind kind of on the forefront of things, like figuring it out. Like, that's why I always do like choosing cards to see what else the tarot has to say about, you know, something. And then, because I wouldn't consciously think of all those pentacles. No, I'd look for like, oh, disappointment. You know, you have to go inner. You know, but seeing the correlation of how that inner and the like your inner world and the external world, how they are of the same thing. You know, it's like our expectations. It's like we want to see them manifest out in the world, and that's what gives them power. That's what delivers them, right? You know, so. So find your own gifts, you know. Don't diminish yourself because you can't do, you know, one thing or the other. Find out what it is that you can do, and I'll do the same. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go. Before I do, my website, Jason D. McKean. JasonDMckean.com. And again, I'll be in Seattle and Portland in January in Bakersfield at the end of January, and go to the website, check it out. All right, all blessings, and I'll be here next week. Bye.